Church Disciples of Christ. Here you are, here we are at our Monday Manna Bible study, and we welcome you to join us on tonight. So get your Bibles ready and get your thoughts and your minds ready and come on in for Bible study.
That's right. We're in the 26th chapter tonight of Leviticus, and we praise God for each of you tonight who have come to be a part of this time together. We're certainly grateful for God sustaining us and continuing to keep us. We thank him tonight for how he yet forgives us of our sins and continues to look beyond our faults and get right to our needs. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? He's an awesome God, and he's worthy of all of our praise. And so we're encouraged tonight that our faith is going to increase as we gather on this Monday night. And we believe that something powerful is going to happen in your situation as we make this word applicable to what you might be experiencing even today. Mm-hmm. I think many times, Lady Kim, when we start in the Old Testament and we look at the words that God has for the children of Israel, the Israelites, many times we fail to make the full connection. And we think it's just some words on a piece of paper that address people hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But this word is so fresh and quick and alive within our spirits. And I believe God is going to speak to somebody even tonight as a result of what he's saying to us through this word. For the word says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. So let us prepare for tonight. We're going to be in the 26th chapter. Let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight, those of you who have already joined us. Of course, we have several platforms that we try to air this particular Bible study lesson, and we're grateful for each of you who continue to support and participate in this time of study on Monday night. Let us have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together. God, we're extremely grateful for this day. We thank you for our lives, and we do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for another opportunity even now to call upon your name. And we're certainly grateful for you sustaining us and allowing us to make it to this point in this place in the journey that you have set aside for us to participate in. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us and making us new creatures in Christ. And we're certainly grateful for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. So now, God, we pray that you will just speak to us and meet us at the point of our needs, even tonight. We love you tonight. We honor you and we bless your name. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. It's in the name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
Give God a thumbs up or give
amen.
God some hearts and let us know that you're on point and that you are listening and that you're ready to participate in this time of study together tonight.
Amen.
So we're certainly grateful. Here's the 24th day of June.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, June is trying to slip right out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We've already had the signal that summer has begun. And so we know that the weather is extremely hot already. And we know that even as we go through this summer months, that it's going to get perhaps even hotter. Would you agree with me on that, Lady
yes.
Kim?
Yes, sir.
Some people prefer the summer over the spring and winter and the fall. But that's a preference. And that's just like coming in and asking somebody, how is the temperature? You'll probably get four or five different opinions. But we praise God that we need all of these seasons in the natural as well as in the spirit realm in order for us to be who God has called us to be.
Amen.
So Lady Kim, on yesterday, we took another dive into that Luke chapter 15
mm-hmm.
and did a part two. I heard that you had a disruption in your notes on yesterday, but was there anything that really kind of stuck out or that was a visible for you to kind of share with us tonight in terms of what you heard the Lord saying?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep
no,
going because, you know, God always has a ram in the bush and he does not go without a witness. Somebody say amen.
No, I'm just teasing.
You know,
yeah.
Huh?
I'm just teasing.
Okay.
I got a few notes. As you know, if anything, we could talk about the scripture, but no, I was just teasing. But Luke, the 15th chapter, as you said, is a familiar passage of scripture. It talks about the prodigal son. And if you've hung around church, Bible study, Sunday school, any length of time, you have possibly heard about different parables in the Bible. And like you explained yesterday, a parable is just a story that conveys a spiritual or a moral, or has a moral meaning to
okay.
it. And so you delved again and did a part two on Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 24, when it talked about a man who had two sons, and the youngest son asked his father to give him his inheritance. What's unusual about that is a couple of things. Usually the inheritance falls to the oldest son after the father has passed away. But here the younger son has asked for his inheritance prior to his father's death. What was interesting about it was that his father didn't argue with him. His father didn't, you know, pout about it. He didn't have a family meeting. But the Bible says that he gave them what the younger asked for. And the interesting thing that you brought out, it says that he gave to them. So not only did the younger son, who was the only one who asked for his inheritance, get his inheritance, the older son got his also. But the younger son went, got his money, went away, and lived a reckless lifestyle. You know, he spent all his money, and I'm sure he had a lot of friends, a lot of girlfriends, a lot of partying, a lot of goings on. But at the end of the day, at the end of his money, when his money ran out, there he was, penniless. And he was so broke that he had to take a job. And a man gave him a job feeding hogs or feeding pigs. And he was so hungry that even the pig slop looked good. And he, the Bible says, he came to himself. And he said, my father has servants at the house who have food enough to eat, food to spare. And here I am perishing with hunger. And he said, I'm going to return to my... First, he said he sinned against God and the Father. And he would return to the Father, to his Father, and ask for his Father's forgiveness. It took a lot of courage to do that. And so he did just as he said. And the Bible says that when the Father saw him from afar off, he was excited and happy. He told them to get a ring and put it on his finger. He told them to kill the fatted calf so that they can eat and be merry. And he was happy that his son was home. He said, once he was lost, but now he's found. And he was glad that he was home. So you had several points that you got to on yesterday, just a couple of them. His father saw him. You know, and the title of it was In Plain View.
Okay.
And what we need and want sometimes is in our right there in front of us, in plain view. And we need to stop looking in all the wrong places. So, you know, sometimes we're running here, we're running there, and that thing or that person or what we need is right in our midst. And then you said that... your first point was that his father saw him. His father saw him from afar
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
And that us too in our sins, you know, the father still sees us. He's just waiting for us to come home, come
okay.
back home.
Okay.
So I thought that was wonderful.
You thought that was wonderful?
Yes.
Okay.
That the father
That's
sees
powerful.
Us.
Because, and I'm not trying to, you know, make light of that, because sometimes people need to hear that, and they need to know that, because sometimes you can get out so far till you think that you are outside of the reach of God, or that God has forgotten about you or has forsaken you. Mm-hmm. But he promised in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so anytime you feel distant from God or you feel as if God has moved, make no mistake about it. God didn't move. You're the one who moved.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so it's a word of hope for those who don't know how to come back home and don't know how to ask for repentance or to ask people to forgive them. But know that God forgives us and that all he wants us to do is ask, the Bible says, if we but yet confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And so for that person who's just kind of drifting and feeling ashamed or feeling rejected, this is a word that encourages those who are trying to make sense of life, that you can always come back home and the Father stands ready, willing, and able to accept you right where you are.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing was, you know, we have to be careful how we utilize our resources.
Okay, all right.
The young man went away and it said he squandered his resources. He lived a loose life. And we have to be careful not to live a loose life. Well, it's easy to say that because we're well up in age now, but I think everybody in their
life. Speak for yourself life, now.
I think everybody in their life to some degree lives recklessly or without regard to
the consequences or
and what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. And in regards to God's punishment or whatever they might be thinking about, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so
tell us then about, I just want you to kind of break that out a little bit more. Why are you looking at me with that Chicago cross eye? tell us a little bit about that because, you know, when people see you at a certain place, they think that, we haven't gone through anything. I use us as an example. We haven't mm-hmm. gone through anything. Mm-hmm. We haven't experienced life on the other side of being involved in the religious aspects or not really been exposed to anything outside of church.
Right.
And so all have said, the Bible says, and yes, fallen short of the glory of God. And make no mistake about it, nobody is perfect. Isn't
nobody's
that right?
Nobody's perfect, that's right.
And so we all have some skeletons. We all have some history. We all have a reason to praise God because he's brought all of us from somewhere.
Yes.
And you didn't just come out of your mother's womb with a pacifier and a Bible. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so there has been a lot of hurt, a lot of wounds, a lot of pain that many have experienced. And so don't be ashamed of what you've gone through, but mm-hmm. praise God for how he brought you through.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes. And I think what we go through in life helps build our character and brings us closer to God. Because then when we come to ourselves,
that's right. That's
then
right.
We learn how to lean and trust and depend on our Father.
Yes.
Who knows, our Father, Heavenly Father, who knows all. So to God be the glory when we come to ourselves.
Okay.
We have a Father that we can come to who's never turned his back on us, but who's always there waiting with outstretched hands. And like I was saying, a time will come when we'll need our resources.
Right.
So we
right.
can't squander our resources. I think I said it last week that the farmer doesn't eat all his seed.
That's
you know?
Right.
He saves some seed. He eats some seed and he sells his product from the seed.
Okay.
And so there's always a consistent or constant cycle. He'll have seed to plant for the next season to grow crops.
Mm-hmm.
The produce that he grows, he can sell some and he can eat some. He doesn't sell it all. He doesn't eat it all. And he doesn't spend all the money up that he, you know, sold his product with.
Okay.
And so we, too, need to be wise enough to not waste our resources. And then we have to be careful who we spend our resources on.
Wow.
You know, because people will continue to use you until they use you up. And then when you don't have anything, then they're gone. And so you have to make sure that those that you surround yourself with are those who are going to help lift you and get you to the next level in life instead of pull you down.
What's some of the signs or signals that, because there are a lot of needy people out there. Mm-hmm. As you were saying that, I was thinking about a couple in one of our ministries that we participated in. So don't try to figure this out, because mm-hmm. we've been involved in
a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm. But there was this one couple that was very, 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 very needy. Mm-hmm. And it took us a minute to figure it out. But once we figured it out, then, and I don't know, some of that probably comes from a life of abandonment mm-hmm. And rejection. And then sometimes from embarrassment in terms of their current predicament.
Yes, absolutely.
Because this couple really felt that nobody cared for them, and that they longed for the attention of someone to just say something, or someone to kind of surround them with. We surrounded them with agape love. Mm-hmm. And that was really what they needed. But come to find out, the need was even greater than that in terms of their personal life and some of the issues that we never were able to uncover in terms of why they were so attached. They wanted to be attached to somebody, and then they became not an asset but a liability. Would you agree with me? I'm trying to be kind in that description, but am I pretty much describing that
absolutely
situation?
And you know, friendship the friendship is one that I have good friends that I don't talk to for weeks, sometimes months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do talk to them or do see them, then we have a wonderful time together.
Okay.
But this particular couple wanted our full attention.
That's right.
They did not want us to have other friends. They would get upset and angry when other people came around and tried to be in our company. And so they tried to sabotage our other relationships. So you have to be careful and see what's the underlying factor to all of that. So, you know, that just goes into what we're talking about, who you associate yourself
That's
with.
Right. That's
this
right.
young man went away and he associated himself with people that were users and abusers, because as long as he had money, they were around. As long as he had a prestige or what they thought was a status, they were around. But as soon as he didn't have anything, no one was there to help him.
Wow.
None of them. They said he was so hungry that he wanted to eat pig slop. Now, what happened to all those people he was partying with
and spending his money on?
Where were they? Couldn't
buying
they help
the drinks and the cigarettes or whatever?
Right. Couldn't they give him a sandwich or something?
Right, right.
So, Dr. Kweli says we have to know when to cut the apron strings and when and how to bless others. That's correct.
That's good.
That's correct.
That's good.
Because you can't continuously feed some people. I know there's an old saying that says you can give a man a fish and he can eat for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can teach a man to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. So sometimes we have to be teachers of fish, teachers of fishermen. We have to teach people how to fish instead of feeding people fish.
All right. That's mm-hmm. good. That's good. And so it comes with discernment, I believe, Lady Kim, as well as spiritual maturity, because we can bless those and help those who are in that predicament when we recognize early on through discerning their situation. We can adjust in terms of how we're going to respond to their neediness.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
But if we're not spiritually mature enough to discern that,
mm-hmm.
then you'll find yourself in a situation where people will pull you down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you are a little bit more advanced than they are, they'll pull you down so that you can be low just like them. Mm-hmm. And have nothing to offer you or nothing that can help you boost you or promote you in where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. And it takes spiritual discernment and maturity to understand that, because when we first met this couple, we didn't have a clue or an idea about how their situation was. But through discernment, we figured it out. Mm-hmm. And it was before anything seriously happened in terms of, detriment to us.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
And so you have to pray and be discerning, because, you know, you can't just, God wants us to love everybody, and we do love everybody, but you can't bring everybody close to you like that until you probably get out of this life with at least three friends. And if you have three friends that are close to you, then you're doing a marvelous job. And our friends are few, but we have a lot of people that we know. Wouldn't mm-hmm. you agree with
Absolutely.
Me on that?
Absolutely.
Am I phrasing that right? I'm trying to
make... Usually they say one friend. You're doing good.
Yeah.
Because good friends are hard to find.
Okay.
Yes. All right. And Evangelist Sheree says that she enjoyed your sermon yesterday. It really spoke to her. Amen. God bless you. And so we have to be careful who we surround ourselves
That's right.
with.
That's
because
right.
when we fall into a time of need,
mm-hmm.
Who's going to come to our
That's
rescue?
Right. That's right.
You know, and sometimes you can use people so much that they refuse to help you.
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
I don't think that this doesn't seem to be the case with this young man. It seemed like he was very generous to everyone.
He does.
And then when his money ran out, then nobody was there to help. But sometimes you can be on that opposite end of the spectrum where you're that needy person and you asking everybody for help all the time, and people just refuse to help you anymore because they've helped you so much in the past. You know, now it's become a pattern or a habit of using and abusing people, so they cut you off.
Okay.
So,
well, Lady Kim, say that third point for later, because as I was praying today and meditating, I know it was a very familiar story about the prodigal son. I still think that God is yet trying to capture someone's attention through this word about a real key important ingredient that third point entails. And so we'll see how that goes. I'm not trying to belabor the effort, and usually if I do a part one, I mean a part two, that's usually the conclusion of the matter. But just like the evangelist indicated, I've heard from several people even today in that regard. And it's amazing how when you speak a word, and the word might not be
for everybody.
It's for somebody.
Absolutely.
And many times people want a word that's going to make them shout and make them feel good and all of that on the inside. But many times God wants to give you a word that causes you to think and then make some serious decisions about your life going forward.
Amen.
And so we'll continue to be in prayer about that. But look like I saw our tallest Timothy on the line tonight, Pastor Marquise McPherson. We'll be headed his way this Sunday afternoon at 1:00. And so we'll see how the Lord leads us in terms of it might be a part four over at his spot. I don't know how that's going to work, but we praise God for the word. And we don't need to just be in such a hurry to rush through a word because of the familiarity of the word. But each time I read the word, it begins to speak something fresh and something revealing to me, even though I've heard it preached and I've, I've read it many times. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree with me
absolutely.
On that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you getting into that third point? Was that still what you getting ready to
no,
do?
No,
You didn't have anything on that third point?
No, because you didn't say anything on that third point.
Okay, I'm just checking. I thought you may have had something that you're going to try to help the preacher for.
No, I think the third point was his father dressed him, and you never did get there. Well, you got to his father had compassion on him.
Yeah.
And so we thank God for a compassionate God.
Right.
You know, a God, a father who has compassion on us.
Right.
You know, God gives us grace and mercy.
That's right.
You know, he doesn't give us what we deserve. We'd be in trouble if God gave us what we deserve. But God had compassion on us. The father had compassion on his son. And parents have to have compassion for their children.
That's right.
And you said something my mother always said. She used to say, you have to give your children roots and then you have to give them wings.
That's right.
Roots.
Did I get that right yesterday?
You got it right.
Okay.
You root them and ground them in the word and then you give them wings like a bird and let them fly away. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to land on some in the wrong places sometimes. They're going to land they're going to have to land during some storms.
Mm-hmm.
But if you continue to pray for them and if they're rooted and grounded in the word, God's word says that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. They will fly back home eventually.
Okay.
So give them roots and give them wings.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. But yesterday was a great time at ATOP, I tell you. And the Lord showed himself strong, even in the place of baptismals, as well as new members coming.
Amen.
The Lord added to the church.
Hallelujah.
And then we had an opportunity to witness the gifts and the skill sets of those who had made their graduation recognition on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it just did my heart good. We can remember half of them growing up in the church.
Yes, Lord.
From little old kids.
Absolutely.
And now
they have a little bitty.
Yeah.
At summer camp.
Right.
Running around the church and here they are graduating from high school and a couple of them are from college.
That's right.
So, man, I'm telling you, it's amazing how God that means we're getting up there.
That's right. We're not going to talk about that. That's
okay.
Right.
No, we're not. Getting better.
Better. That's
yes,
right.
Lord,
somebody
better.
Say better. Somebody yeah. type better.
Better.
All right, boy. See, I felt something right there. All right. But it was a great day yesterday. And then after we finished with the worship experience, we went out. And, you know, it was a hot day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And people were, as we did our outreach Sunday and feeding those who are in need. You know, your heart bleeds when you see the people in their predicament, but it also gives you the blessed assurance that you're in a better place than you were, because there are so many people out there who are less fortunate and worse off than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was good to see the young people on the bus and people participating. And Ryan, even all the way from where is he living, in Atlanta now? Houston, that's right, down in the Texas Panhandle. And he was right at home, wasn't he?
Yes.
And so it gives you a whole fresh perspective on the goodness of God, and then understanding how important it is to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
And so we saw some real amazing, some interesting situations out there yesterday. But we're so glad that God has allowed us to be a part of being a blessing to those who are in need. We probably served over 300 meals yesterday. And the shelters plus two shelters. And then as we made our way through downtown, it was just amazing. It was like the ice cream truck was pulling up, wasn't it, Lady Kim?
Yes.
And people coming from near and far. And so we praise God for those who continue to work with our outreach ministry. We had some of our new members to go on yesterday. and then for Brother DeJuan Whitmore and Jerry Frazier as they navigate us, you know, through the communities and drive and all of that. And Minister Al Blanks is a constant in terms of his support, praying for and encouraging people on the street. I tell you, it's a ministry worthwhile. It's a worthwhile ministry. And for the investment of those who are putting into this ministry financially, we're certainly grateful. And all of the proceeds from Big Dre's barbecue cook-off a couple of weeks ago was going right into helping and assisting with the Meals from the Heart ministry. And so we praise God. It's not too late if those of you who have not participated and haven't gone out. Each fourth Sunday, we try to make our way, and we announce enough time so people can make an adjustment if it's not going to be on that fourth Sunday. But thank each of you for your participation and your support. And I want to encourage those of you who haven't had a chance to go, just go and ride on the bus and just see for yourself. And I tell you, your heart is going to bleed, and you're going to feel the power and the presence of God, and you're going to be appreciative of, even if you don't have much, the little that you do have, you're going to be praising God that you do Amen. Have that little.
Amen.
Am I right, Penny?
That's Kim? Right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So many people are out there. We gave one man a plate, and he said, "Do you have any pants?" He just wanted a pair of pants.
A pair of pants.
Another pair of pants to put on. He had on some sweatpants, and oh, it was so
it was hot.
Hot.
It was hot
out there. He said, "Do you have some pants?" Unfortunately, we did not have any clothes on the bus. But to God be the glory. You know, he had some food to eat.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Yes, it's amazing. We just thank God for allowing us the opportunity to minister to those who are food insecure in the community, for they are many. And we don't discriminate. Some
people come up,
and we just ask them, "Do you want a meal?" They may not need a meal. They you know, but you never know.
That's
you know,
right.
You can't tell how a person
looks. That's right.
Whether they need a meal or not. And so we just thank God, because we know that there were many, many people out there that needed something to eat. And we thank God that he's given us the ability to provide that for them.
Okay. All right. Well, thank each of you. And we want to jump into this word tonight. We're in Leviticus chapter 26. Now, last week, the 25th chapter, of course, we talked about a very powerful setting that really kind of helps bring perspective to this 26th chapter of Leviticus. We talked a little bit about the year of Jubilee and how important it was that God set things in motion that many times would really work in our system today if we but yet apply it, because it just took away that whole you know, rich and powerful and high and mighty, and it brought people down to a certain level where those who were in need, the ones who had it, they were able to support them, and the ones that didn't, the ones that did, they were willing to give what they had in order so that others can be blessed. And but now we have a system that's in place where the rich gets richer.
Yeah.
Is that right?
The rich get richer and the poor
get poor gets poorer, and nobody's trying to meet in the middle and try to share their resources and make sure that it's enough resources, I believe, Lady Kim, for everyone to have a modest living if we all would support and participate in trying to help other people. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think, during biblical times, there was also a caste system,
right,
where there was the rich and the poor. And Jesus came to be the mediator,
okay,
between the rich and the poor, to break down some of the barriers that were in place at that time. And so, you know, women were thought of as property.
Second class citizens.
Absolutely. No, not a citizen at all.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Foreigners, if you weren't Israel, born into, you know, the lineage you were nothing also.
That's right.
So there was a system or a hierarchy there. And so the same is true today. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that's why we still need Jesus today.
Absolutely.
To do away with the systems, the unjust systems that are in place.
Okay. So you have a brief outline of this 26th chapter. I think they are about, what, 40 verses there?
46 verses, I think. Yes, 46 mm-hmm. verses. And these 46 verses talk about obedience and disobedience, mm-hmm. But it also talks about the promises of God and the retribution the promise of blessings and retribution.
The promises of blessings and retribution.
Yes, the promise of blessings and retribution. That means that if you do right, God said, and you obey God, then there will be blessings. Mm-hmm. If you do wrong and disobey God, there are going to be consequences.
Okay.
And God clearly sets this out in this chapter on today. Verses 1 through 13, this is the 26th chapter of Leviticus, mm-hmm. God promises to bless the Israelites if they're obedient.
Okay.
That's verses 1 through 13. And then there are more verses that talk about verses 14 through 39, God promises punishment for disobedience. So this chapter talks more about the punishment for disobedience
wow.
than it does the promises if they are obedient.
Okay.
So God really wants them to know this is serious business. And then the verses 40 through 46, there's an opportunity for forgiveness. That
okay.
if they sin, because Israel, they would do well for a time, then
mm-hmm.
they would go back to sin, and then they would do well and go back. So that back and forth, but God gives them an opportunity to redeem themselves and to ask for forgiveness. And there are promises there if they are if they ask for forgiveness.
Okay. And that sounds sort of like us today.
Yes, it does.
Back and forth, up and down. You know, we're good for 3 months, and then we fall off the rails. And then we try to get back right at the end of the year and fall off at the beginning of the year. But God is a constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, as we said earlier. And His promises are sure. A couple of things we can always count on God for, knowing that He will never let us down. He'll never let us off, and He loves us too much to leave us where we are. And so this little commentary, this Nelson Quick Reference Bible, Leviticus describes what you just shared as covenant chastening, mm-hmm. and then confession.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives three C's for this particular chapter, and that there must be a confession that has to take place if we are to continue to enjoy the blessings that God has for us. So this author goes more into a covenant relationship with God. And it's a difference between a covenant and a contract. And so when God establishes covenant, you're going to see that mentioned several times throughout the first part of this chapter. He's really talking about the responsibility in terms of the connection between you and Him and how important that is. And it's not a contractual, but it's a covenant agreement that He has in place for us to live our lives in obedience. Obedience brings the reward. And so when we are not living a life of obedience and we're not trying to align ourselves with God, then that's when the consequences begin to come into play.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so how you want to proceed, Lady Kim? You feel like reading? You want to just kind of narrate through and just kind of pull out a couple of verses from each of those sections to highlight?
Well, I can highlight those sections that I talk about in chapter 26, verses 1 through 13, how it talks about God's promises to bless the Israelites if they're obedient. If the Hebrews refrained, it talks about if the Hebrews refrained from worshiping idols, kept the Sabbath days, reverenced the tabernacle, and obeyed the Lord's commands, God promised to bless them and make them prosper in Canaan. So we have to remember where they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are the children of Israel who are out in the wilderness. And God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey.
Okay, okay.
And they're still out there wandering around looking for this promised land. And God tells them in this wilderness experience that they have to obey so that when they get to Canaan, that they will prosper. And he promised he would send them rain for their crops,
mm-hmm.
And cause their fields to produce in abundance. He promised to remove harmful beasts from the land and give them victory over their enemies, because they had a lot of enemies. They had all those ites, you know.
Right,
they
right.
had the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites Jebusites. And the Jebusites. All of them tried to war against the Israelites. But God said that they would prevail over their enemies. And he told them he would multiply their children and walk amongst them as their God.
That's right.
So that's the first 13 verses of that chapter.
Okay. And what we really tried to do, even though we're not reading all of the verses line upon line and precept upon precept, we're trying to make it live and into and be applicable to our situations even today. Because just as Lady Kim indicated, this 26th chapter really contains blessings for obedience and consequences for the disobedience to God's command. And so when you think about that in terms of how that applies to us today, we can still learn a valuable lesson from them by emphasizing the importance of faithful obedience to God's commands, which leads to his favor and his blessings.
Amen.
And so many times we miss that because people sometimes, and not all the time, they'll serve God as long as things are going good.
Right.
And as long as things are going well, then all is well. But when the bottom falls out, then it's a whole nother level of seriousness in terms of their commitment to God.
Amen.
But what God is looking for is faithfulness and consistency hand in hand. He doesn't want us to just be one way, 3 months out of the year, and then we walk in dishonor and disobedience the next 3 months, and then we start back and try to recoup and regain our focus the next three and then fall off the wagon again.
Right.
But he's looking for consistency in terms of our obedience to him.
Amen. And I think these first two verses in this 26th chapter are very applicable to us today also. It says, you shall not make idols for yourselves, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourself, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
Okay.
And so how we can make this applicable today is that God says don't set up any idols before him. And an idol can be anything that we give more attention to than God.
Okay.
Okay. And so that can be a lot of things.
That's right.
You know, we can get that new car and spend our Sundays washing that car. You know, because that's the only day, really the only day we get from work, get off from work. So we have to wash that brand new car and then drive it around that so people can see it. So now we've gone from a blessing to idolizing something.
Okay.
You know, some people idolize their children, you know. Some people idolize their significant other. So we have to make sure that we don't put people and things before God, because that's all idolization is, putting something before, putting something at a higher level than we do God.
Okay. And you know what happens when we do that, don't you? Anything that's standing between us and God is closer to God than we are.
Amen.
And so we have to be careful with that, because it can be in the subconscious that we really don't recognize that, and we lose sight, and we become like the prodigal son. We find ourselves out there living a wretched life, and then we hit rock bottom. But I praise God for the intercessors and for those who take prayer seriously, that we're yet praying that even tonight, Lady Kim, that somebody come to themselves.
Amen.
And that they see that, you know, the world won't provide for you what only God can provide. That's why I'm trying to think of the scripture. It says, in terms of us not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we have to live a life in alignment with God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a car is out of alignment, it starts to just
shake
and do all of that mm-hmm. going down the street.
Mm-hmm. Pull to one side.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so it is with us when we're not living in alignment with God's will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find ourselves all over the place
mm-hmm.
and just moving about, just like a car that needs an alignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's good stuff. And so, you know, God's promises, also God promises to bless us if we're obedient.
That's right.
So he says his words have a lot of promises in them. Seek first the kingdom of God.
That's
and his
right.
righteousness.
That's it.
And all these other things shall be added to you. That's one of the promises.
That's right.
But
that's
the thing
right.
I find about God's promises is you have to do something first.
Okay.
And then God will bless as a result. And he told these Israelites the same thing, that if you are obedient to my word,
mm-hmm.
then I will send rain for your crops.
Okay.
Then I will allow you victory over your enemies. Then I will remove the harmful beast from your land. If you are obedient.
Obedience.
So if we are obedient, God's promises will stand for us also.
That's right. Obedience brings the reward.
Absolutely.
Isn't that
right? Absolutely. And then verses 14 through 39, we talked about God's promises punishment for disobedience, which
right.
is more than that for the promises for obedience.
Mm-hmm.
If the Israelites ignored God's commands and broke covenant with him, he assured them that they would be punished.
That's right.
Instead of giving them peace, God would cause them to live in constant anxiety of their enemies, disease and famine. If they persisted in disobedience, God told them he would increase their punishment and break their pride. He would take their food away and give them over to the powers of their enemy. If things got worse, God would destroy their cities and scatter them from among the nations.
Okay. So that's part of that. I think you used the word retribution there.
Yes, retribution.
In terms of you have to suffer the consequences
of your disobedience.
Of your disobedience.
Yes.
And he spends more time, you said, talking about that
mm-hmm.
than he does talking about what are the requirements for obedience.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sure they understand what the consequences of disobedience.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
That's right.
Okay.
He took 13 verses to talk about the promises to bless.
Okay.
But he took, I think, 25 or 26 verses to talk about the punishment and the consequences and the retribution for disobedience.
Okay. And so that's key there. And we believe that if we but just walk in willingness to God's word in terms of aligning our lives, walking in obedience and seeking him wholeheartedly, we position ourselves to receive abundant grace and blessings in our lives.
Amen.
Isn't that what it's kind of boiling down to?
Yes, it is. It is.
So these last few verses, as we prepare to wrap it up here tonight, Lady Kim, he gets into another area that's really key. I think it's one that you called forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then that's all tied up into the confessing of our faults and our failures and recognizing that we have wronged God and that we have not lived according to his word.
Amen. Yeah. So when we come to ourselves.
When we come to ourselves.
We have that opportunity for forgiveness. So the last six verses 40 through 46, if the Israelites were disobedient and were punished by God, but later had a change of heart. Mm-hmm. God promised not to forget the covenant that he made with their fathers.
The covenant word is.
The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's right.
If they would repent, confess their evil deeds, and humble themselves, God would not destroy them, and he would once again be their God and their protector. So when they come to themselves, when they came to themselves.
I thought you said, I was going
to
say popcorn. I was getting ready to make you some popcorn.
God will be their protector. Here it is. Here's God again. You know,
right.
God is coming to their aid. God, the Father, stands there with open arms, ready to receive them back.
Right, right.
God is an awesome
He's
God.
He's an awesome God. And he's promising his word, as we said earlier, he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And if we but yet confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us and make us fresh and anew. And so we have to understand that God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. But if God said he would do a thing, then it shall come to pass.
Amen. He's going to do it.
He's going to do it. Well, Lady Kim, let's wrap it up right there, because I think this is a well-rounded lesson, and it talks again about obedience and faithfulness, and it talks about how important it is for us to align ourselves with the promises and the will of God, and how important it is for us to live a life of consistency in terms of what God requires. And the blessings will come. We don't have to try to manufacture it. God will take care of those who have a mind and a heart to follow him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, he will. All right. If we have any prayer requests or praise reports, you can put those in the chat. We got a wonderful praise report today about Mother Roxy
Briggs.
Right.
That's right.
Sister Barbara sent a video of her walking down the street today.
Looking good.
Walking strong, so she's doing much better, and we give God praise
Hallelujah.
And glory for Mother Roxy feeling much better. Then we want to lift up in our prayers a few of our ATOP families again, Sister Tamika Peck and Brother Charles Peck, and the loss of their nephew. That funeral was held on this past weekend. Sister Marcia and Brother Benjamin West and the loss of their son. That funeral was also this past weekend. And then we want to lift up Sister Vendora Mills in the loss, the sudden loss of her niece. So that funeral is, the arrangements are incomplete at this time, but we will let you know. And so we also have a prayer request from Sister Patricia Lifford. To pray for her sister who lives in Chicago. Amen. We will pray for Sister Young in Chicago. Whatever that prayer request is, we will lift up Sister Young in our prayers, and we'll put her on the prayer, intercessory prayer list as well.
Amen. Well, we did have a chance last week, Lady Kim, to go down to Birmingham and spend some time with my sister and her family, her husband, Ronnie, and just to sit and just to kind of be there. Sometimes presence is important, and we were not able to make the funeral, but
I think the funeral of my nephew.
Mm-hmm. I think that she appreciated us just coming down to spend some time with her and just for her to just kind of share and to be able to use us as a sounding board. Because that whole thing about grief and grieving, you know, it's necessary, Lady Kim. It's normal and it's natural. And we have to make that happen. We don't have to make it happen, but it has to take place in order for, you know, you to get further along in that process. Not going to come to an end, or it's not going to dissolve because you've gone through some steps, but it helps you manage your life better in terms of understanding. I'm so glad that my sister had was in good standing with God, and that she understood the power and the presence of prayer. She shared with us some very powerful about testimonies about her and Anthony, and Anthony knew the Lord, and so we were so excited about that. And she has a unique little situation about when she gets kind of upset, and she went through that process. I'm not going to share that on the live screen. Lady Kim kicked me about four times, but it was interesting because I hadn't really seen her do that before. But we had a great time of just sitting and just sharing, and then went out and got a bite to eat and just kind of hung out for a little bit, almost all day that day. And I really enjoyed that. I go to one of my favorite spots when I go to Birmingham. It's called Alabama Peanut Company, and they have, you can smell the peanuts down Morris Avenue, for those of you who are familiar with that area. I always stop by and get her some. I get her a pound of peanuts, half a pound, wasn't it? I believe.
I don't know. I didn't.
And then I get mine. But see, Lady Kim never asked about them until I eat them all up. Did we have some peanuts? Yeah, that
those
was about 3 weeks ago.
Those peanuts in the shell, right. They roast them right there fresh. And as he said, you can smell them when you pull up at the door, them roasting peanuts. They have all kind of flavors,
too.
They got
boiled peanuts.
They have boiled peanuts, Cajun flavor, all kind of peanuts in the shell. So, that's one of his favorite places to go.
All right. Well, our time is well spent tonight, and we praise God for each of you. We have two mediums. We have the streaming side as well as the Facebook side. Thank you for being a part of this time together. Lady Kim is going to close us with a word of prayer, and we're going to close out for tonight.
Amen. Don't forget, we will meet at New Bethel on Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. to celebrate Pastor Marquis McPherson's fourth pastoral anniversary.
Has it been 4 years?
To God be the glory.
Wow.
To God be the glory.
And the bus will be available if you want to just leave your car at the church and just jump on the bus. We've already secured a driver, and so if those of you who want to ride, that'll be available. We need to be there. The service starts at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And so we'll be leaving the church.
No later than 12:30.
That's right. No later than 12:30. Probably about 12:15. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And get over there and get situated. Mm-hmm. Praise team, choir will be singing. Ushers will be on their point, on point. And we're asking all of our ministers and spiritual officers, as well as members of the congregation. We love Marquis. He loves ATOP, and he's a son of the ministry. And so we want to go in full force, showing our support and appreciation for his fourth anniversary being there at New Bethel Baptist Church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for this, another Bible study that you have allowed us to engage in and to open for us the understanding of your word and how it applies to our lives. We thank you, O God, and we know that your promises for us are from everlasting to everlasting.
Thank you, God.
And we know, O God, that there are also consequences for our disobedience. So we ask, oh God, that we walk in your will and in your way so that your blessings may flow in abundance. God, we pray today for those who are bereaved. We pray for the Peck family and the loss of that nephew. We pray for the West family and the loss of that son. We pray for Vendora Mills family and the loss of her niece. And we ask, oh God, that you would give them peace and comfort that surpasses all understanding. And God, we lift up a prayer request for Sister Young in Chicago. Whatever the need is, God, we know that you can meet every need in her life. So we ask that you would strengthen her emotionally, physically, God, and whatever way she needs to be built up. Build her up, oh God, where she's torn down. Prop her up on every leaning side. And we thank you, oh God, that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we thank you, God, and we expect a testimony through her test. Now, God, as we go to New Bethel on this coming Sunday, we pray your choicest blessings to be upon Pastor Marquise and the New Bethel family. Continue to grow them, oh God. Continue to bless them, oh God. Continue to let your vision go forth in the life of that church. And we thank you, God, for everything that you've done in our lives. We bless you. We honor you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right.
Thank you, everybody, for being on Bible study tonight. See you Sunday, 8:30 for Sunday school, 9:45 for our service, 1 o'clock at New Bethel. Good night, everybody.
Be blessed.